This morning. Today at the Oasis, we're going to talk about prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. A lot of it is on the fasting end of it because, if you remember last week, we talked about prayer. So this is something that Jesus had said. We're going to look at that scripture. Actually, a couple different the disciples wrote about it using the same language. And so we're going to look at kind of both of them and compare those two a little bit. But we'll see what God has got for us on prayer and fasting this morning. Father, we lift this up to you. We exalt the name of Jesus in our hearts, our minds, and in our service right here, Lord. We exalt Jesus and pray that you have your way, that you set him up on that pedestal in our hearts further than ever before, Lord, that we open ourselves up to you, to fully being utilized and used by you, Lord, to your glory, to shine like bright lights in this dim world that we live in, Lord, that you are exalted above all in our lives and in our families, in our communities and beyond, Lord, because of the work that you're doing in and through us. Lord, we praise you, we thank you, in Jesus' name, amen. 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 So we're talking about prayer and fasting. Let me ask you this. How many people, and this is kind of just an opening question, but how many people have struggled in life with kind of a recurring vice? Something that, you know, you kind of wish you could get rid of. Maybe, you know, it's eating donuts or, you know, maybe, no, just kidding. Maybe it's something that you've had for a while and you would really rather get away from it. Or maybe you get some relief from it. It's something that has bothered you for years and maybe you get some temporary relief and then all of a sudden here it is showing up in your life again. You'd really like it to go away. You wish it wasn't part of your life. Let me give you a couple examples. But some people have dealt with addictions for years to certain things that they've wanted to get rid of, but they've just never really had the strength to overcome it, never really maybe had the motivation to overcome it. I mean, yeah, it's possible we could quit doing some of this stuff, but we don't have the right motivation inside. Or maybe it's really the knowledge that it takes on how to be free from it. Maybe there's something that we haven't heard of or thought of before that God could reveal to us, it would help us to be set free from it. There's some people that struggle with things in their mind. I use the term, but feeling insecure a lot or feeling like people are going to reject them. Okay, and so rather than living their life, enjoying life, they are just waiting expectantly for the next big hurt to come along. They just expect that. And so they're living with that kind of a feeling that things are not going to go that way. Okay, these are things that we struggle with. Sometimes it'd be nice to get rid of. Things like a physical affliction could be one of them. Maybe it's not something that is life-threatening. It's not something that might put you in the hospital this week, but it's just kind of a nagging, aching, bugging thing that just kind of bugs you. It just won't go away. Or maybe you get some relief from it for a while. Maybe it goes away for a little bit, but then it comes right back and you never really seem to get rid of it for good. It just kind of hangs out. And now we talked last week about prayer. Being confident in our asking, I think was the title, confidence in asking. We talked about being confident in approaching God. You know, we can come boldly under the throne of grace to obtain grace and mercy and grace to help in time of need. We know that it's the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. He loves to bless his children and to see us set free and to help us be free. Okay, so if we have a situation then that we've been speaking to, we've been asking God, we've been seeking him, diligently making our requests known to God, like we talked about last week, we do it in faith and we're believing, but things still don't seem to be changing. There may be some deep-rooted spiritual forces at work that need to be addressed kind of from a different angle, coming at it from a different way to be able to get some freedom from this. Here's our example, but Jesus told the disciples that there was even certain things that could only be dealt with through prayer and fasting. Okay, now you remember the story. Let's read it in Matthew chapter 17, verse 14 through 21. Here's the first passage we'll read. It says, when they were come to the multitude, there came to Jesus, or come to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic, he's sore vexed, and oftentimes he falls into the fire and oftentimes into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? bring him hither to me. In verse 18, he says, and Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart, and they said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, that if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Unbelief was the root cause. And Jesus told them that the solution to unbelief was prayer and fasting. Now you think about last week and this week, I said they're kind of practical messages. I'm going to tell you something real kind of useful information. Last week we talked about prayer and how effective and how powerful that is in our life and how it's neglected to a certain extent. So this week, when you talk about prayer and fasting, I'm going to focus a little bit more on the second part of that. Okay? Here's a great example of someone who had been dealing with something for a long time. His son was sick. He was not seeing any relief. His son was tormented. In some versions, they'll say he had like epilepsy. He had seizures and stuff. That's what was going on. And so throw him into the fire. Man, it would throw him on the ground. He might roll into a fire. Not somebody you want to take fishing along the river because, you know, God forbid, it's they threw him in the water kind of stuff. And so his father was tormented with this. The son was tormented, which was tormenting the father for many years. So he brings him to the disciples. Okay, now the disciples we talked about last week, they were walking with God. They're learning how to cast out demons. They came back and said, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through your name. And they were learning to use the name of Jesus. You guys remember that? We said that last week. They're learning to use the name of Jesus to cast out devils, to walk in the authority, and yet they still had a little bit of unbelief in certain areas. And that's what Jesus was addressing right here. He said, you know, you still, because of your unbelief, you were not able to do this. So Jesus, they fell a little bit short in being able to help the man. So Jesus almost sounds a little bit frustrated here when you listen to his language and what he says. He calls them a faithless and perverse generation. Okay, right? And he asks them, how long is he going to have to keep demonstrating the power of God for you before you believe that anything is possible? Okay, and so he said, how long shall I suffer you? How long am I going to have to keep showing you over and over again anything is possible to him that believes? Anything is possible as a child of God. He says, nothing shall be impossible unto you when you believe. Get rid of that unbelief. And then he gives them the solution to dealing with and rooting out that unbelief that was hindering them, that was holding them back from doing some of these things. I want to read this same passage again here in Mark chapter 9. It starts in verse 17, but I want to read it to you again. Same description of the same scenario, but just a little bit different language. Mark 9:17, he says, one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which has a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he tears him, and he foameth, and he gnashes with his teeth, and he pineth away. He's talking about seizure stuff. And I spoke to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered and said unto them, again, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you, and how long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and fell on the ground, and he wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long ago is it ago since this came unto him? And the father said, since he was a child. And oftentimes it cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway, right away, the father of the child cried out, and he says with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto them, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and he lifted him up and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples again asked him privately and said, "Why could not we cast him out?" And he said unto them, "This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." Here's the solution that Jesus was giving them in dealing with unbelief. It's a way of increasing your confidence in asking, like we talked about last week, increasing your faith toward God. Remember, Jesus said, they said, "Lord, even the fig trees withered," and Jesus just replied, "Have faith in God." Just have faith in God. That's where your answer is. So he says, here's the solution in dealing with unbelief, increasing your confidence and faith toward God in prayer. Fasting is often one of the most overlooked parts of the Christian walk with God. It's overlooked by many. Fasting is an extremely powerful tool for bringing your body and your flesh, okay, more than just your physical body, but bringing that flesh. Remember, the flesh wars against the spirit, okay? You bring that flesh under subjection through fasting, okay? When we do this, it opens the door for you to hear clearly, a little bit more clearly, the voice of the Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice and they follow after me." If we're clouded up with doubts and other stuff, we can't hear him. Or when he's speaking, we're not recognizing it as him. We're hearing something else. So it opens that door up for us to hear clearly the voice of the Holy Spirit. It removes some of the cloudiness and the limitations caused by doubt and unbelief. So when Jesus says, or your pastor says, or your friend reminds you and says, "All things are possible for you," if you immediately begin to think about all the reasons why your situation is a little bit different, your situation is just not that easy, it's a pretty good indicator that there might be some unbelief rolling around inside that needs to be rooted out by fasting. Okay, and I'll explain more about it. Now, I have just a little bit of time this morning to be able to share with you all there is to know about fasting, but I want to give you, here's a pun for you, I want to give you a few morsels to chew on, okay? Because there's a lot to it. There's a lot to fasting. There's a lot that can happen through it. One question that might come up is fasting for today? Is it something? We don't hear a lot about it, right? Where's all the sermons on fasting? Where is all the stuff that, let me ask you this, though. Is fasting for today? The answer is another question. Is praying for today? So if Jesus is telling them that this kind goes out, not out, except by prayer and fasting, he's implying that it still applies even yet today. There are scriptures where Jesus told the disciples, they came and the Pharisees were questioning him and says, "How come the Pharisees come and how can the Pharisees fast and yet your disciples, they don't fast at all?" And Jesus said, "They will. After I go unto my Father, they will fast." And he implied that it was something that would be happening. We don't hear a lot about fasting. I know when I was a kid, I remember it hitting the news. I wasn't a Christian yet, but I remember when Oral Roberts fasted, and I can't remember what the situation was, but I just remember he went a long time, and the reason it hit the news was because he was not going to eat until something happened. It was like somebody being released from prison or some major event, and he was not going to eat until that happened. Okay, and I just remember it hitting the mainstream news and all that, and so that was kind of my introduction to fasting. And then as a young believer, I had a great pastor and a mentor that helped to be able to teach me about some of these things. But you don't hear a lot about it. Okay, but even though we don't hear much about it, Jesus said it is something that we are expected to do. Okay, and that's why I call it the missing ingredient. Okay, it's one of those things that in a Christian's walk, just like prayer is often neglected, that we don't pray as much as we could or should, there's also things like fasting that we don't do that as much as we could or should. And yet it's still a part of what Jesus said. It's just as alive as prayer should be alive today. When Jesus was instructing the disciples about things like forgiveness, he's talking to them about giving and when they give their alms and here's how to go about it. he says this. He's telling them about prayer. Okay, now we just said prayer is necessary for today. Well, he says this in Matthew chapter 6. Start with verse 5. He says, when thou prayest, okay, indicating that disciples are going to pray, right? The learners of Christ are going to pray. So he says, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets so that they can be seen of men. He says, verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Okay, so he's giving them instructions, right, on prayer. He's telling them how to go about prayer. So we can all probably agree that, yeah, Pastor, I wholeheartedly believe in prayer. Jesus was all about it. He taught the disciples how to do it. Okay, and he implied that it was something that they should do. And then he gave them specifics on how to go about prayer, that we don't go out and pray, you know, and have to pray on a street corner and have everybody watch us and make a big deal out of it. Scribes, Pharisees, some of those guys did that. That's why he was saying some of these. But, you know, even today, we don't have to make a big deal out of it. Prayer can be you and the Lord tucked away in a closet somewhere. And the Lord that hears you in secret will reward you openly. He's going to make things happen. Jesus teaches them what is often, right after this, is when Jesus teaches them what is often referred to as the Lord's Prayer. Okay, now we mentioned that last week, and many of you know, have it memorized, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? And he goes through and he teaches them. Remember that in a different gospel, they said that they literally asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. And he says, here's how you go about it. Our Father, you know, which art in heaven. And he goes through and he explains to them about how to pray, right? We know that prayer is a part of the Christian life. He taught them how to pray. He wanted them to pray. Let's finish that prayer and see what he tells them to do next. In Matthew 6:13, starts there, goes through 18. He says, and lead us not into temptation. You guys remember where I'm picking up. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Next verse. Moreover, very next statement. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites, and be of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces so that they may appear unto all men to fast. They want everybody to know what they're doing. Oh, feel sorry for me, kind of thing. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Verse 17 says, but thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head, wash thy face, so that thou appear not unto men to fast, but only unto thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which sees thee in secret, shall reward thee openly. Okay? So here he is teaching them what? They say, Lord, teach us to pray. He says, pray like this. Forgive and fast. Okay? He put them all together. It was that important. When you think about what he's teaching the body of Christ through the disciples, he says, this is what I'm going to teach you. Then you go and teach other people, start churches and do this stuff. You're going to spread the gospel. Okay? And here's what he does. He says, here's how you pray. Then make sure you're forgiving, because that's the core of the gospel, right? Forgiveness. And then fast. And he put it all together. He made it that big of a deal. When you fast. Now, probably every person in this room at one time or another has prayed to God, right? Anybody prayed? Okay, hopefully every head's nodding. Yes, we're prayers, right? We prayed. But if I ask for a show of hands, then how many people in a room have fasted for 3 days? How many people in a room have fasted for 1 day? Or how many people would even fasted for one meal? You'd be surprised how many hands would not be going up. Might be one or two that, yeah, I've done a little bit of fasting in my life. I know Margie has. I know I have. Yeah, I know there's a few others that probably have tapped into it a little bit too. Jesus' expectation was that we would continue to fast after he had gone unto the Father. I didn't pull up that scripture, but I know it's there. I believe that every Christian should fast and should fast regularly. I mean, not religiously, not on every Tuesday at 2 o'clock, but I mean, we fast on a regular basis, and I'll explain why. I know a Christian that fasted 3 days a month for several years. I mean, that was just their thing. They didn't necessarily pick the certain 3 days or whatever, but their goal was 3 days a month for several years. Another one would fast 1 day a week. Okay, 52 times a year they would fast. Other people I know would just do 1 day a year. Okay, we have a pastor and a friend that I know that his wife fast for sometimes weeks. I mean, I've seen her go 30 or 40 days on juice fasts and stuff. Okay, and in a regular 1 day fast for pastors is frequent. I mean, where you just pick a day. You know, you don't tell people. I don't make a big deal out of it. I don't even tell my wife when I fast because I don't want her to know. I don't want anybody to know. Remember what Jesus said. You don't do anything. You wash your face, you clean up, you go to work, you do what you're doing. And you just go through your day so that people don't even know that you're doing that. I've done many one meal fast as well. Okay, where it's not just something where I don't have time to eat, but it's something where I decide not to eat. And I'm just going to take that time and I'm going to spend it in prayer. I'm going to spend that time listening to the Word of God or reading it. Okay, what happens when we do fast? What are the benefits of it? Does God hear you more when you fast? I know, so I'm speaking to people that maybe haven't fasted a lot, so maybe you're like, I don't know, what happens? I'll explain that too. But what happens? What are the benefits? Does God hear you more? Or is it so that you can hear God more clearly? What is your motive when you fast? Like the hypocrites Jesus described, their motive was to make a big deal out of it. Look at me, I'm fasting. I'm better than you because you're not fasting, right? They were making a big deal out of it, a little puffed up in pride. They made an issue out of it. Isaiah chapter 58 is going to give us our answer. Ultimately, what we're going to see is that fasting is one of the truest forms of worship of God. Because it's going to clean out some stuff out of you in your life so that you can worship him more fully. So that's why I say it helps with the fullness of our worship with God. Isaiah is going to describe how Israel had transgressed because they were fasting religiously, but it was done with the wrong motive. They weren't doing it quite right. And so he goes through here. Isaiah 58:3 is where we start. We'll read the first 5 verses. It says, wherefore have we fasted, say they, and yet thou seest not. It's like they're talking to God. He said, we've fasted, and yet you don't even notice. He says, wherefore have we afflicted our soul, and thou takest no knowledge. They're like talking to God this way, saying, man, you're not even noticing. We're doing this religiously, and you're not even paying attention. Behold, and this is God's response, behold, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exact all your labors. You're making it about you, yourself, your work, in other words. Verse 4 says, behold, you fast for strife and debate and to smite with the fists of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. They were fasting saying, God will hear me. Now, remember I said the mainstream news put it out about Oral Roberts that he was not eating until something happened. They were kind of putting it in a bad light. And kind of rightfully so. We don't fast to make God hear us. That's a side effect. He will hear you during a fast, and you're going to see it in the scripture. But we don't do it for that motive. I'm not going to fast and say, look at me, God, I'm doing this for you. Because that's not what he calls a fast. That's not what he wanted. He says, is this such a fast as I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will thou call this a fast and an acceptable day unto the Lord? They get their answer. I think the answer is no. Right? Then Isaiah describes what fasting is all about. It is about setting you free to be who God called you to be so that you can worship. And some things are going to be revealed as you begin to do this. Look at Isaiah 58, 6 and 7. It says, is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free so that you break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry? It's going to cause you to do some of the things that, because now you're more focused. I guarantee you, when you're fasting, you're more focused on the things of God than ever before. In any point in your life, you're more focused. So he said, verse 7, is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou mayest bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Okay, you're going to see some things in your own life during a fast that you will not see at any other point in your life. You can't see it. You've got kind of blinders on, but you begin to fast. And I tell you, the longer you go, the more you're going to see things are revealed. It's not always pretty, but it's very beneficial, because then you can deal with it. If I don't know I got something, I'm not going to deal with it, right? People live that way all the time with physical ailments and things that come up. When you fast, your spirit will reveal some things to you about what has been hindering your walk with God so that you can truly begin to worship God. You begin to see something. I don't like that spirit of anger. I don't like that spirit of jealousy or that rejection or that whatever it is that's been hindering me. I don't like that. And we begin to see it for what it is. That when that starts coming at us again, that's, no, I don't like that. I don't need that. Now I can see it more clearly because the Holy Spirit is able to reveal some things to you. The sad fact is that we often don't see some of the ugliness in our own life. But when you fast, you will see things about yourself and you will see things about God that you've never seen before. You never thought of that about God. I never realized that God took care of that part of my life too. You'll have revelations in the Spirit. You'll begin to see and to hear things that you've never seen before. And the benefits of a fast, even here as Isaiah continues on, are outstanding. I mean, some pretty awesome things. Look at 58:8-9. He says, then, when you're fasting in the right way, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward, or behind you. And thou shalt then, thou shalt call, and the Lord shall answer. And thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and the speaking of vanity. Okay, that's the reference to the pride, the proud faster. Okay, the one that was doing it because of their own, I'm doing this for God kind of thing. He says, when you put that stuff away, you're going to see this. You're going to see health in your body. You're going to see greater revelations, because now when you're crying out to God, you're hearing him say, I'm right here. I'm answering you. I am right here. And he'll be answering and speaking back to you. Okay, the benefits are outstanding. Okay, as I close this up this morning, I just don't have time to get into a lot about fasting and the benefits of it, but I want to show you this is one of many passages about fasting. Joel and Jonah and others referred to proclaiming a fast. It's time to set a fast. I need this. We need to do this in our life. And they decide to do it. And that's a good and great way to look at it, is I need to set a fast. Let me give you, though, some pointers on fasting. If you haven't done it much or you haven't been involved in it, I fast, I think the most, I'll just be honest, I think it's 5 days, or the longest that I've gone. I know friends that have gone 2 weeks, 7 days on a regular basis. Once a year, a friend would do 7 days in a row. And like I said, our pastor's wife used to do 30 or 40 days, I think, at a time of juice fast. Nothing but drinking green drinks that she had made in her blender kind of stuff. And health-wise, I mean, she's outstanding. Talks about how it cleared up a lot of stuff. So let me give you a few things to do on fasting. When you decide to fast, number one, have the right motive. Okay, don't do it for God. I'm doing this for God. Okay, you're doing it because you're a Christian, and this is what Jesus said, that by prayer and fasting, it is going to root out some of that unbelief. It's going to motivate you. You're going to see things. You're going to be able to hear more clearly. Sometimes we think about carnality. You know, we've been addressing that lately, but man, if I feel like I got carnal stuff, I'm going to fast. Because that's going to help with that, I guarantee it. It opens the door, it reveals some things, and you're able to see more clearly when you do that. So number one, do it with the right motive. You're not doing it to punish yourself. You're not doing it to make yourself, I'm going to beat myself up because that'll make God listen to me. We don't do it with that motive, right? We do it with the right motive. That's number one. Number two is read or listen to the Word of God as much as possible. Because when you open yourself up spiritually, you open yourself up spiritually, and so you can hear from both sides more clearly. Okay? And so you need to be able to discern the spirits. And so pray for that. As you're fasting, Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, you give me discernment of spirit so that I know what is your voice and what is the voice of the stranger, the voice of the one that I don't want to listen to. Because the both of them will try to speak during that time. You'll be able to, believe me, the longer you go, the more you're going to be like, that's God. Nope, that's not. Okay, and you'll be able to, it gets clearer the longer you go. Okay, so read and listen to the Word as much as possible, and I recommend good teachings. If you're going to listen to teachings, listen to something good. Don't listen to some, I'm just going to say it, don't listen to some conservative Baptist preach at you that you're a sinner and a bad person and you're going to hell if you don't change. Okay, you're saved by grace. You're a Christian. Listen to some good grace teaching or something that's going to encourage you. We get ours on the internet and CDs, and I wouldn't deter you from listening to some of those, because there's some spiritual things that I've been saying over the last few years that maybe has gone over your head, and maybe when you're fasting would be a time that would be quickened for you, and it's like, whoa, I never caught that when I heard it before. So there could be some of that going on. That's a good idea. Number three, pick a day and time and set your mind and then prepare yourself for it. Okay, I don't know how often it has happened. Some people might, but they might wake up one day and say, I'm just going to fast for a week today, starting today. They might do it that way. For me, I got to psych myself up. I like to eat. You guys know me. I like to go out to eat. I like to eat. I eat all day. I snack. Carry a bag of jerky with me all the time. I'm always eating. Okay, so for me, I got to set my mind to it, and I need to prepare ahead of time. I need to say, I'm going to start on Monday, and I'm going to fast, and I won't eat again until Wednesday morning, or whatever it is. You pick that day and that time, and you say, this is my plan. But what you don't want to do is be legalistic about it. And when your best friend comes rolling through town, and they call you up on Tuesday and say, hey, I'm in town, you want to do lunch? You don't tell them, I can't, I'm fasting for God today. You go out to lunch with them. There's no sin in it. It's no, you're not breaking some vow with God that I committed to a day and I broke it now. It's not like that. You're fasting for this relationship that you have with God, and He knows your best friend. He knows you wanted to sit down and share and break bread with them, and He has no problem with it. So don't get legalistic about it, okay? But just set your mind that I'm not going to give in easily, because I guarantee you that you're going to get offers to go out to lunch anytime you're fasting. It's almost a given that people are going to want to go out and do things or whatever. But just set your mind, say, no, I got something else going on. If it's something that you can get out of, don't make a big deal out of it. Number four, decide how long you want to fast. Like I said, I've done one meal fast where maybe I'm just not going to eat lunch today. I've decided to do that. I'm going to spend extra time, if you got a phone, you got a Bible, just spend extra time, spend an hour reading instead of taking a lunch break or whatever. And you can do that just for a meal. Okay, that's healthy for you. It's not going to hurt you any. None of us are going to hurt too much. I don't see anybody that's going to dwindle away, Maybe Jeff over there, but the guy ran 31 miles or got it in yesterday. I mean, that's ridiculous. He can eat whatever he wants, probably. Okay, so set a time. Pick it out. I used to like to do a day fast where I'd eat supper one night. I plan the next day just not to eat all day until breakfast the next day. And so you pretty much go a full day. It's actually more than 24 hours when you do that, if you think about it. But that's a full one-day fast that I would think of. Sometimes you might set a three-day fast. They do lots of three-dayers in the Bible. 3-day and 7-day, 40-day. Those are tough. Like I said, I don't think I've even gotten to a week yet. But it's something that you can do. You can set it up so that you do that. Number five, like I said, some do a juice fast. Those are a little bit easier if you're working and you have a strenuous job and you still need energy. I guarantee you, if you're drinking juice like greens and veggies and put in a little apple juice to sweeten it up a little bit, I mean, they're good stuff. If you're into that and you do that, then you still have all the stamina to do the stuff you do, but you're denying your body something. You're cleansing your body, because your body will probably be cleaning out, but also it opens you up. You're still going to be doing something with your relationship with God, And during that, you're listening extra careful. You know that you're fasting because I didn't just eat a steak, I just drank a little cup of juice. Okay, you know that something's different, and so you're going through your day differently when you're even doing a juice fast. As like I said, if you're doing a long one, sometimes those are way to go, or if you have a strenuous job, you still need that physical energy. Green leafies and all that stuff, Jeff's probably into healthy eating and drinking because of all the exercise he does. But that stuff is, there's energy in it. You know, there's a ton of energy in juice. So that's something. Did I see? Oh yeah, I'll get to that. Number six, if you have an addiction to something, okay, like smoking, chewing, sugar, caffeine, there's lots of little addictions. I recommend, if you can, abstain from that. I mean, obviously there's good reason, you know, if you know it's something I need to quit anyway, there's probably a reason for that. And so it'd be healthy for you not to do it, okay? Because I guarantee if you do it, that will be one of the ugly things that God will reveal to you during your fast. Is, well, here I am out here dragging away, you know, while I'm fasting with God, you know, okay? Here I am eating a cookie or whatever, my sugar stuff, okay? So it's something that you're gonna want to, if you can. I also know as an early young Christian, when I first got taught about fasting, I still had addictions and I didn't give them up entirely. So just think about that. And again, don't make it some legalistic thing that you're going to feel guilty and bad and beat yourself up over it. But you know that God is going to reveal some things even about that. And you may come through on the other side a little stronger that, you know what, I really don't want that, you know, whatever today. And you'll just kind of be able to turn away from it, because fasting will make you stronger at overcoming temptations, guaranteed. Because I'll explain that in a minute. Number seven, I do recommend drinking water during your fast. When I got taught, the first fast was 3 days, and my friend said, don't touch anything. And I just about killed myself. Okay, it was in the summertime, and I got dehydrated, headaches. You talk about fatigue and body aches. It was bad. And then finally I met a different pastor and he said, drink water, buddy. Don't worry about it. So that you keep your body hydrated, because you don't want to do your body any physical damage. Okay, it's not something that, you know, most of us are adults and you realize when you do something, even a fast, or you quit drinking coffee or you quit doing whatever, your body physically reacts to that and you're going to have to deal with that. Hopefully you're wise enough as adults. That's all we got in here. So you're wise enough to be able to say, I need to adjust a little bit or do something. So you don't put yourself in detriment in a bad way, or put yourself in the hospital or something goofy. So I recommend drinking water. Besides just that you need to keep hydrated, but you're going to be flushing out stuff out of your body. If you go along fast, you'll be flushing out toxins. Things are getting out of your body. You'll be going to the restroom a lot, kind of stuff. And it's really healthy for you. Just a side note, but if anybody has weight issues, I was taught that if you drank a gallon of ice cold water a day, you could lose a pound a day. It's hard to do. It's a lot of water. But I believe it would happen, and fasting would be a great time to do that. You'll lose a little bit of weight during a fast too, obviously. So recommend drinking water during your fast. Last one, number eight. Know that you will gain strength over temptations through fasting. But also know you will be tempted during a fast and immediately afterwards. The same temptations, things are going to come at you. So if you're addressing something in your life, and you know what, I'm connecting with God, I'm opening this relationship with us so that I can hear Him, because He's going to give me some insight into how to overcome this. And so as you're going through it, then you get done with the fast and it's time to break it. When you come out of a fast, if you do a long one, come out of it slowly. Don't go eat a steak, a T-bone, you know, or whatever, and you know, a bunch of greasy fries and whatever. Start small and work your way back into it a little bit. Because if your stomach shrinks a little bit, some of us, that's a good thing, right? Our stomach shrunk a little bit. Now we're not going to go pork and pig out, you know, on a big old meal. We're going to start small, and it may actually help us physically for a long time if we maintain that smaller stomach. So, but anyway, you're going to be tempted before, during, and after a fast. I have a story. A pastor friend of mine, that his right-hand man had an addiction to pornography. And he came to the pastor and says, Lord, you know, I need some help with this. And they talked about it. And he says, you know, fasting is something that will help you with overcoming temptation. So the guy says, I'm going to do it. And he fasted. He began to fast on a regular basis. And he began seeing victory, to the point he ended up not having any more addiction to pornography at all. Didn't have to deal with it. But during that, one night he calls the pastor in the middle of the night. And he's crying. He's upset. He says, Pastor, I stumbled. And so the pastor's like, oh, yeah, well, you know, what did you look at? Let's just get it, you know, get it behind us and whatever. He said, no, I didn't do that. I was on a 30-day fast, and I just ate a bowl of ice cream. And so the guy was feeling that bad about eating a bowl of ice cream during his fast, okay? He didn't give in to the pornography stuff, but he felt bad because he gave in. He was fasting, and he had this plan, and then he gave in to that, and it kind of made him feel bad. Now, I make it kind of funny, but the idea or the real thing with it is that he was cleaned out of that pornography stuff. He wasn't dealing with having to deal with that because his strength, it was so much easier. And here's the example. It is so much easier when you can deny your body something that it absolutely needs to live, right? We can't go without food forever. You can go a long time, but you're not going to go forever. You have to have food. If you deny yourself food, and you get so that you can do that on a fairly regular basis, how much easier is it to deny yourself something that you don't need to live, that is not good for you, that is not healthy, like an adulterous affair or that pornography or that addiction? How much easier is it to steer away from that when I've got the strength to deny myself something that I need to live, right? It's going to give you a strength like you've never seen before. Now, I've just touched on the tip of the iceberg when it comes to fasting and a lot of the benefits of it. I've got a couple of books. If anybody is interested in it, there's lots of information out there. Some of them are better than others, but I did come across a good Destroying the Works of Witchcraft Through Fasting and Prayer. It's testimony after testimony of this girl that she was a lot of drug alcohol background, but then she got into prayer and fasting, and somebody taught her about fasting. They did the same thing to her, I thought was funny, and they taught her to not do it with water in the beginning, but she learned her lesson the hard way. And but anyway, so she goes through and describes it in the spiritual battles that she encountered during fast or right after a fast, because they're very, very real. So that one's interesting, and this one is How to Fast Successfully by Derek Prince, also very informational. And I think there might be another one back there yet on fasting, but it's something that we don't talk about, we don't hear a lot about in the church, but it's something that is still a part of it. I believe that Jesus implied that we would fast and that we would spend time doing it in this connection of a relationship. It's not a have to, don't have to feel guilty about it kind of stuff, but I want to open up myself to God and be as useful and plentiful with Him as I can. And if there's something that I'm not seeing, that, Lord, what is it, you know, that holds me back? And if I can't see it, this is going to open some things up so that I can hear the Holy Spirit and I can hear what He's saying. Like I said, you cannot fast and not be more focused on God that day than a day when you're just pigging out, eating, going through life normal. Because you're conscious all day long. There's no reason to be doing this except that I have a relationship with God. Okay, and it's very, very powerful to be able to do that. So I'm going to end it with that. But just think about it. Prayer and fasting, two very, very powerful, practical things that we can do in the body of Christ that will help us to grow in faith. Father, we praise You in the name of Jesus. We thank You for this day that You've given us an opportunity, Lord, to learn of You, to grow in faith and understanding of You, Lord. I pray that You take us deeper, take us further than we've been before, Lord. We grow as the body of Christ, Father, as fast as we let ourselves grow, Lord. You want us to grow. You want us to flourish. You want us to be blessed and to prosper in every way, Father. And I pray that we can let go and push aside the things that are trying to hold us back and just press into You to receive all that You have for us, Lord. You're great to us. You bless us and take good care of us, Lord. And we're grateful for that. We thank You. We give You our lives as an offering, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.